It's the final week of the Mega Mattress Event at Ashley Home Store. Only at America's number one furniture and mattress store. Pay no interest for 8 years on queen mattresses from Tempur-Pedic and iComfort, both starting at just $21 a month. Or save up to $1,000 on select queen mattresses from Beautyrest and Sealy Posturepedic. Hurry in now for the Mega Mattress Event. Only at America's number one furniture and mattress store. Ashley Home Store. This is home. Offer subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payment required. See store for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
This time on the Fantasy Flex, now presented by Dynasty Football Factory. We'll discuss the potential Le'Veon Bell fallout in Pittsburgh, as well as break down the Kansas City Chiefs with DFF's own Shane Manila. Stay tuned.
Hey, good morning.
Shane, are you with us?
Yes, sir. How are you doing today?
All right, I'm fine. I want to get into an article you had concerning the Chiefs recently.
That's a sexy topic. I know everyone's dying to hear about them.
Well, from in that ilk, yeah, as you're kind of sarcastically alluding to there, the Chiefs aren't full of first round or even second round. Now, Jamaal Charles is going to return, but, they're quarterbacked by Alex Smith, Jeremy Maclin, number one receiver. Travis Kelce's a great tight end. These guys sometimes fall under the radar, especially at the quarterback position. Now, reading your recent buy or sell article about the Chiefs on Dynasty Football Factory, you might surprise a few by saying you have Alex Smith as a buy. Now, I personally tend to agree with you. I've always kind of been high on this guy. He's very fundamentally sound, but not a sexy pick, as you said yourself, in fantasy football leagues. So tell us, what do you like about Alex Smith?
Well, like is a strong word. I'm more comfortable saying I tolerate him, I accept him. He does well. I did throw out a stat on there that he hit 15 points at least 12 times through week 15 last year, and I ended through week 15 because I'm assuming most people's playoffs end around week 16. He's always going to give you rushing yards. He had about 500 rushing yards last year. Doesn't turn the ball over much, only had 7 or so. More importantly, you can get him cheap. I did a lot of drafts. I looked at the ADP in June, and he was going off as the 31st quarterback. Now, people are being drafted ahead of him, like Teddy Bridgewater, who's never done anything. Brock Osweiler, who lost his job to the corpse of Peyton Manning last year. In a one quarterback league, I could see, only taking Smith for streaming purposes, bye weeks, injuries, etc. In a two quarterback league, though, he's a starter. You could start him every week and not have to worry that he's going to blow up and go the wrong way like Matthew Stafford sometimes did last year, or throughout his career, he'll give you negative points because of the turnovers.
All right. Well, in that ilk, I'm kind of with you. Let's break it down into some numbers. Let's say maybe you have Alex Smith in maybe 18 to 22 type of range in quarterback rankings.
Yes, I actually showed that he was 18th last year overall.
All right. Brad,
and like I said,
are you
he's
with
off.
I believe so, Nate.
I'm sorry, Shane. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. And like I said, he was going off as the 31st quarterback taken. So right there, that's value. That's value.
Yeah, yeah.
Quarterback's going to have one that you don't want to start.
I agree. Brad, how are you feeling about Alex Smith and your current quarterback rankings?
I have him coming in at number 25 in my rankings. The upside is not there. I agree the consistency is there probably, and he's very useful in those two quarterback leagues. But as far as a starter – in the standard and deeper leagues, I don't have him quite that high. So he's sitting at number 25 for me.
All right. So I think Shane and I are a little bit higher on Alex Smith. Let's move right through that Kansas City offense and talk about the guy who twice in the last 5 years here has been put down with significant injuries. But Jamaal Charles looks to be healthy. He looks to be back. I've been seeing him in some mocks moving to that second round, and I'm definitely intrigued at that value. Shane, how do you see Jamaal Charles going into the season?
Well, I'm all in on Jamaal Charles. Again, it's looking at the cost. Now, in a standard or in a redraft league, he'll go in the second round. In dynasty leagues, you could grab him in the fourth or fifth or even later. You know, a lot of that is fear. He is coming off another torn ACL. I guess on the bright side, it wasn't the same exact knee. So there shouldn't be too much, you know, shouldn't be too hard for him to come back. I ran a couple Twitter polls last night when I found out I was coming on tonight, just to see, you know, why I'd hold on to him, why I'm buying. And Twitter is pretty strongly anti Jamaal Charles right now. And again, this is in the dynasty context. So I put out a trade if you asking if you'd rather have a 2017 rookie pick, which is unknown. I didn't assign it any value. It could be anything from 1 to 12 or JC Superstar. And 62% of the respondents rather have a rookie pick, some guy that they don't even know who it's going to be. They'd rather have him than Jamaal Charles. Yeah. Another one I threw out there, because I like to do a couple just to see, you know, what his value is. And this one was a little surprising to me as well. Carlos Hyde, 47% of respondents would have rather had Carlos Hyde than JC Superstar. You know, that's the dynasty mindset. Carlos Hyde is young, and he's exciting, and he's full of promise, even though he hasn't really done too much, and he's been injured.
Yeah, he's had his injuries too, of course. Brad, are you willing to say that you'd rather have Carlos Hyde, even if you're looking 3-4 years into the future? Are you willing to put him over Jamaal Charles?
No, definitely not. I'm not high on Carlos Hyde. He has that injury history working against him. I mean, Charles does too, but yeah, I'm not willing to take a Carlos Hyde over a Jamaal Charles just yet. Now, I kind of side more with the way, you know, Twitter kind of voted on that poll, in that I might rather have certain rookies over a Jamaal Charles, especially in a dynasty format. I'm not extremely high on Jamaal Charles this year. I mean, he's burned me in the past. I had him one of the years he tore his ACL, and he's going to be 30 this year. And, you know, I don't think he's going to get quite as much of the lion's share of the carries as he usually did in seasons past. I think because Spencer Ware and Charkendrick West have shown that they're very capable backs behind him. And, I mean, Charles will still be effective with the carries he gets. I just don't think he's quite going to be as stellar of a fantasy running back as he has in seasons past. And I think he's going to cede some carries to, you know, Spencer Ware and Charkendrick West.
Brad, I'm going to put the screws to you there a little bit. You're talking about having a high pick for rookies next year. As some of our listeners will know, you went to the University of Georgia. Who might you have in mind to trade Jamaal Charles for next year?
Well, I mean, Todd Gurley would be nice, obviously, but then coming out next year.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, would be the ideal if we're talking the 2017 draft class. I think that that draft class is going to be loaded. Nick Chubb, Leonard Fournette. I'm leaving one other really good running back prospect out. But anyway, yeah, definitely someone like that easily I would be interested in over Jamaal Charles. I think the upside potential for a Nick Chubb or a Leonard Fournette is much higher than what Jamaal Charles has on the tail end of his career. So,
all right, let's get into some pass catchers out there in Kansas City. Shane, you're as I see here, you're also a buy on Jeremy Maclin again. Another place I'm going to agree with you, and you can often get pretty strong value on this guy, is he tends to fall out of that top-tier wide receiver ranking in many's view. Tell us why you like Jeremy Maclin.
Just like you said, people, they sleep on Jeremy Maclin for whatever reason. Now, in my article, I do bring up the fact that he does look like a frog. So that could be a little disconcerting to people, I guess. A little odd looking. I always thought that, you know, I'm an Eagles fan, born and bred in Philly, and, you know, as soon as we drafted him, I was a little concerned that there's amphibian in him, but that's okay. He produces. When he plays, he produces. That's all he does. I mean, he's averaged over 73% efficiency on 120 targets over the last two seasons. You know, the year before that, he was injured. He scores touchdowns. He's averaged somewhere in the neighborhood of 6 touchdowns throughout his career every year, and he only had 4 in his first season. Right now, last season, I think he was definitely in the top 20, a wide receiver. You can draft him in the 7th, 8th round, 5th round if someone's savvy enough, but usually somewhere in that neighborhood, 5th through the 8th round in dynasty drafts. We're ageists. Anybody over the age of, I think, 21, we think is on the decline. But Jeremy Maclin, like I said, his numbers aren't eye-popping. There's nothing that he does. He doesn't put up 1,700 yards a year and 16 touchdowns a year. But he puts up solid 1,200 yards, 8 touchdowns, 80 to 90 receptions, and he's going to do it for you every year.
Yeah, I agree with that. I like him and that Andy Reid offense. He's had more than one season where he's excelled in that offense. Brad, where does Maclin fall in your wide receiver rankings?
Maclin comes in at number 24 for me in my wide receiver rankings. He's coming off back-to-back 85-plus reception, 1,000-yard seasons. And, yeah, he does catch touchdowns. So I think he's going to be a good value pick where he's going. He'll be a steady producer at wide receiver 2 with maybe some low-end wide receiver 1 upside. Probably going to move him up in my rankings when I redo them either today, if I get to it, or tomorrow. He'll probably move up at least 5 spots, I think.
Wow, I moved him up 5 spots. That's a good talk.
Great minds think alike.
Exactly.
We're all 3 pretty set that he's a wide receiver 2 in a standard format, correct?
Very much so, very much so. Yeah, like Brad was saying, he's a wide receiver too. He's got some wide receiver 1 upside if Alex Smith could throw further than 6 yards. You know, maybe he could do it this year.
All right. Let's move into guys that might be flying under the radar in that Chiefs offense. Both kind of had a few moments like that, one more than other. Now, Brad and I are from the Atlanta area, have been here our whole lives. Chris Conley from the University of Georgia, Albert Wilson from Georgia State. Who do we like better between those two guys, Shane?
I'm going to take Chris Conley.
You're going to make Brad happy.
From the South. Except for the Alex Smith thing, me and Brad are right on eye level. We agree on everything. I mean, Chris Conley is just a metric freak. He, you know, 6'3", 205. He's fast. He's fast for his size, but he's just fast in general. For a little guy, he'd be a burner. For the metric guys out there, he's a spark freak. He's fast. He's got a giant catch radius. He's got an insane burst score. All his metrics are in the 90th percentile. Obviously, Alex Smith, again, might not be able to support 2 wide receivers, but if Maclin were to go down, God forbid, Conley's going to be the guy that steps in and carries the load. You saw what he could do a little bit in the playoffs last year and the loss against the Patriots with the 5 receptions, and the week before that in the wild card game, he had a touchdown. So even though his rookie year, he didn't catch a lot of passes, I think he had 19, they did start to feature him a little bit in the playoffs.
Brad, put Connolly in your rankings for us.
Well, there's a specific ridiculous one-handed catch, I believe, against the University of Tennessee that sticks out in my mind when I think about Chris Conley throughout his years at UGA. Like you said, a freak athlete specimen, all the metrics through the roof. He's got the potential there. I hope he exceeds in expectations and excels this year. I really do. He's outside my top 50 right now, but when I analyze all my rankings, I may move him into that, you know, 45 to 50 range. There's a few people on here that really don't need to be ranked anymore in my rankings. So, like I said, I've got to do some tinkering with that, you know, remove some, you know, the likes of Doriel Green Beckham, maybe even a Vincent Jackson, get them out of there. So,
well, I won't be, you know, so quick to just give up on Vinny Jackson. And, you know,
yeah,
finally, another good thing about him is cost. You get him for a third, fourth round. Beautiful thing in dynasty leagues is we have deeper rosters. We can be patient. We can sit on a guy for a year or two. I'd throw offers out there all day, third, fourth round rookie picks, see if I could get him on my team. Like I said, if you have a deep roster, just let him sit there in case anything were to happen to Macklin or if somehow Alex Smith starts to support two wide receivers on his team.
All right. And moving right along, let's hit on one more Kansas City player. And, I mean, most around the fantasy world know him. His value is kind of it's bolted up the last couple of seasons. And this might be the reason that Alex Smith can't make two receivers relevant in fantasy. Tight end Travis Kelce, how do you see him for 2016 and beyond?
He's going to be a producer. He's young, another, you know, metric freak. He's produced. He was eighth in PPR last year. I don't know anyone that plays any other league, but I'll just throw that out there in case people do play standard. I don't know what he ranked in standard, but in PPR he was eighth. I am actually selling him right now, though. He's just too cost prohibitive for me. Unless your name's Gronk, I'm really not willing to pay for a tight end because you can develop tight ends. You had guys last year like Delanie Walker and Gary Barnage and Antonio Gates still at the age of 74, still producing. And even Zach Ertz. And these are all guys you can get cheaper than Kelce. Although I love Kelce, he's a great player. I'm just not going to pay the premium for that tight end position.
All right, Brad, give us a little take on Kelce here.
I'd have to agree. I'm not going to reach for Travis Kelce in the fifth or sixth round. You know, if I'm going to reach on a mid-round tight end, which, I mean, I probably will not be, but I'd rather take a Delanie Walker, somebody like that. And it may be that I've just had Kelce the last couple of years, and he's underwhelmed and not quite lived up to that baby Gronk name. And whether that's you know, Kansas City Chiefs passing game just not quite having enough volume to facilitate that. There's other times I just watching him play, he's wide open and, you know, they're just not getting the ball to him enough. I mean, yeah, like you said, he's a freak athlete and metric guy as well. So, yeah, I'm not high on Kelce. There probably won't be any of my leagues that I'll end up with him on my teams unless he just falls, you know, to the seventh, eighth, ninth round and there's a lot of value there. So, I would have to agree. I'm down on Kelce this season.
All right. So the way we're seeing Travis Kelce, productive player, should have another good season, just going a little bit expensive for us. Shane, we really appreciate you doing this morning, man. Where can the people find you on Twitter or anywhere else, man?
Well, on Twitter, you can find me at @DFF_Shane. On DFF's website, Dynasty Football Factory. You can find my articles there. Always get at me. You can always make fun of my writing, make fun of my predictions. I do hold grudges, so I do save those, and I'll get back at you later in the season when I'm right. Yeah, I'm on the Twitter all the time. I'm on, you know, Google Plus. You can find me there. Don't find me at work, but you can find me there.
Well, Shane, Brad, I think I speak for Brad and myself when the Fantasy Flex is definitely pumped to be aboard with you guys at Dynasty Football Factory. Thanks a lot, man. Have a good one.
All right, you gents have a good day.
You too.
All right. Okay, and as I said, I want to say that one more time. The Fantasy Flex is now residing under the hashtag DFF Army flag. Brad, let's move right on into a signing that went down earlier this week in Detroit. Everybody was kind of settling in that Golden Tate, Marvin Jones, and even Eric Ebron at tight end, those were going to be the main three receivers for Matthew Stafford up there in Detroit. Now they have longtime veteran has had a great career, but what does Anquan Boldin have left to offer the Lions?
I mean, I think he's got just enough to, you know, eat into those other wide receivers' value. I've definitely got to, again, do some tinkering with my wide receiver rankings and adjust accordingly. But Marvin Jones is, I think, the target in that offense that is going to take the biggest hit. I think that really puts a cap on his upside because Anquan Boldin is a savvy veteran, and he's going to come in and be effective. You know, I think he'll be a target for Matt Stafford maybe on third down, that given, you know, a little bit of time for Stafford to gain some rapport with Q, I think he'll find real quick that that's probably one of Anquan's biggest, you know, assets that he brings to a team. You know, just that clutch catching ability, you know, whether it be on the goal line or just for third downs. I mean, that's a role he's played in every team and every franchise he's played for, I believe. So, his fantasy value alone, I don't know if he definitely is not a wide receiver two. He might have some flex or wide receiver three value. I think we have to wait and see how he integrates into that system.
Yeah. I tend to agree. Exactly. I mean, I may not grab him in drafts as a wide receiver three, unless, you know, I just load up at other positions. But I mean, it's in my mind, I was a little surprised to see that he was actually even rather productive in 14 games for a 49ers offense that was a complete mess last year. I mean, he grabbed 69 passes. PPR wise, Boldin might take a bit of a bump up, but yeah, it's not out of the realm of possibilities that he, I think, finishes as a wide receiver three in a 12 team, and especially a deeper league. You got into it a little bit there, Brad. Let's talk about, has your wide receiver ranking shuffled at all now with Golden Tate and Marvin Jones and Anquan Boldin? Kind of slot these guys for us.
Well, I had Marvin Jones at 40. He's sitting there right now, but I'm going to obviously move him down and adjust accordingly. I think he's probably going to fall at least three or four spots. Maybe not. I do have Corey Coleman ahead of him, and I may move him too. There's been a lot happening at the wide receiver position recently, so I've got to do some work on those rankings for sure. You know, as far as Golden Tate, I'm probably not going to move him as much. I'm already low on Golden Tate, and I think where I've got him at 23 is probably about where he'll stay. Anquan Boldin, I think, is mainly going to eat into Marvin Jones, and any upside, any, you know, deep sleeper potential for Marvin Jones to be, you know, a top 20 wide receiver, I think, is in jeopardy now with that Anquan Boldin signing.
So it's Golden Tate, and then wait and see. Correct. That's how you're calling it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I feel you on that. But again, you know, Anquan Boldin has a long career of showing that he's very sure-handed, a very fundamentally sound player. Could become productive. Marvin Jones is, I mean, when his days in Cincinnati, when he was on the field, you know, he was always a red zone threat. But yeah, I'm with you. Boldin and Jones are kind of, I think they're going to fill similar roles and kind of eat away at each other's ceiling, so to speak. Eric Ebron, I think I was a little higher on you than him. I definitely had him toward the, you know, maybe a 9-10, but in that top 12 of tight ends, is he out of the picture now as far as standard league tight end ones?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I mean, all right. We already knew that you and me differed greatly on where we saw Eric Ebron. So yeah, he's definitely out of that range. I mean, I had him at 20. I probably won't adjust him. I mean, I maybe move Jared Cook ahead of him, but the where he's at 20, the tight ends behind him, really, there's not a lot of upside with any of them. So yeah, he's probably going to stay at 20 for me.
All right. Well, before we get into more talk of running backs in the Steelers' backfield, let me give you all some info on the all-new FanUp Network app. The guys over there have created a fantasy football resource that not only tracks teams and scores across multiple platforms, but also provides the latest player updates and injury news, all while saving you time. The app can be found for Google and Apple devices by simply searching keyword FanUp. That's FANUP. Brad, Le'Veon Bell facing a four-game suspension. It's all in the news. This is kind of even turning into a conspiracy lover's treat. Tell us the fallout, and if Le'Veon Bell misses the first four games or even a little bit less of the season, what does the Steelers' backfield look like now, and what does your running back rankings look like right now?
Well, I think the best-case scenario for Le'Veon Bell is that when he appeals his suspension, it gets reduced. I don't think he's going to avoid missing any games. I think if Goodell does decide to act, I think he may get the suspension lower to, you know, two or three games. But, I mean, all the news and stuff I'd heard is that he's saying that he changed his cell phone number, which that sounds very shady. you know, I believe LeGarrette Blount had a little too much influence on him when he was in Pittsburgh, and Le'Veon Bell having a little trouble avoiding the Blunts. So, yeah, I have him at number five. You know, he was my overall number one. Now he's down at five, and I may lower him even further. I think his ADP after the suspension is sitting right in the early second round, early to mid. I think a lot of people will probably reach and take him a little higher than that. I'd be surprised if he fell to the mid second round, because I think a lot of people will draft him and then try to you know, pick up a D'Angelo Williams, with how, seeing as how effective both of those players were when one or the other was out last season. So, yeah, it's definitely big news. It shakes up the running back rankings and changes things in the first and second round for sure. So we'll just have to wait and see if Goodell decides to act or change anything. But if he's out four games, he very well may go in that second round.
Now, you kind of jokingly thrown out a LeGarrette Blount influence there on Le'Veon Bell. Does that mean Bell's going to start punching people and serve even more games?
let's hope not. But at this point, I wouldn't be surprised.
It's like with Bell, you're like, hey, this might be the best player in the NFL right now. How would we know if he's only going to play 8 to 10 games a year? I mean, right?
Yeah. There's no way to tell.
Okay. Let's stay on that topic a little bit longer. Which running backs are you now going to draft ahead of him? I mean, let's list them all, Brad.
Well, obviously, we got my Georgia boy, Todd Gurley, overall number one now. Following up behind him is old man Adrian Peterson, who's still going to be the cyborg freak that he is, even in his elder age, in my opinion. David Johnson coming in at three, and the rookie Ezekiel Elliott at four, now ahead of Le'Veon Bell. The big determining decision I'm trying to make right now is, do I move my boy Lamar Miller ahead of Le'Veon Bell or not? Because after that is Devonta Freeman, and I am not going to put Devonta Freeman ahead of Bell, even with a four-game suspension. And beyond that, it gets even more shaky with a Doug Martin, LeSean McCoy, Eddie Lacy. So, Le'Veon Bell will be either at five or six, you know, when drafts are occurring in my rankings.
Okay. That's it's quite a bold movement there, Brad, from a guy you recently had number one overall. And I myself was looking at him as the top running back going into fantasy drafts. We're not singing that song any longer. Bell, please, you know, let's get the phone stuff straightened out. Let's lay off the weed, if that's indeed what we're doing here. We're all counting on you, man. And, it's hard to replace the type of overall production he can provide you. Well, Brad, that's just going to about wrap it up for us today. As always, please be sure to hit us up with any comments, criticisms, or questions over on Twitter at FantasyFlexPod. You can now check out the Fantasy Flex at our new home, DynastyFootballFactory.com. Or if you prefer, all episodes can be found on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, or Blog Talk Radio. Until next time, when we'll be joined by none other than Fantasy Alarm's Howard Bender, I'm Nate, that's Brad.
May the Flex be with you.
It's the final week of the Mega Mattress Event at Ashley Home Store. Only at America's number one furniture and mattress store. Pay no interest for 8 years on queen mattresses from Tempur-Pedic and iComfort, both starting at just $21 a month. Or save up to $1,000 on select queen mattresses from Beautyrest and Sealy Posturepedic. Hurry in now for the Mega Mattress Event. Only at America's number one furniture and mattress store. Ashley Home Store. This is home. Offer subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payment required. See store for details. It's the final week of the Mega Mattress Event at Ashley Home Store. Only at America's number one furniture and mattress store. Pay no interest for 8 years on queen mattresses from Tempur-Pedic and iComfort, both starting at just $21 a month. Or save up to $1,000 on select queen mattresses from Beautyrest and Sealy Posturepedic. Hurry in now for the Mega Mattress Event. Only at America's number one furniture and mattress store. Ashley Home Store. This is home. Offer subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payment required. See store for details.